Hello and welcome to the first episode of the Mortal Wound podcast. You may recognise some of the voices on this podcast. It is myself, Mark, who also does the Heroic Play podcast for Guild Ball. I'm joined by Luke.
Hello, my name's Luke. I'm also from the Heroic Play podcast.
And also Rich, who is featured on the Heroic Play podcast.
Hello.
Okay. We've decided that we would do a bit of a 40k podcast as we've all sort of either carried on playing 40k into 8th edition, or in the case of me and Luke, we've sort of more picked up 40k with the release of 8th edition. And we're all pretty happy with how it's going. We're all like spending more money than we probably should be doing on new toy soldiers that we didn't think we'd going to be using again. But yeah, so hopefully you'll find this podcast and the series that we start developing to be of interest to you. Rich is a pretty reasonable tournament player and does fairly well in tournaments. Me and Luke, not so much. We don't really play in tournaments. We just like moving toy soldiers around and going pew pew. I've been playing 40k since I was about 15, so about 14 years really. But I have taken a bit of a hiatus over the last sort of 4 or 5 years probably. In previous editions, I've played everything from Space Marines to Tyranids, but currently I'm back on the Space Marine bandwagon and enjoying playing with the Primaris Marines and all of the new toys that have come out for them at the moment.
Yeah, so I've basically played 40k when I was about 12 years old in second edition. I played that for like a couple of years, as much as a 12-year-old child can do. I've played Wargaming on and off, mainly Warhammer Fantasy in the gap in between, and I've just jumped into 8th edition from, say, 15-year hiatus from it, 15, 20 years.
It's pretty mad.
Right, yes, Mark got me into 40k, damn him, when I was 17. And it's pretty much dominated my life since that point on. I've got more armies than I can count. It's probably easy for me to tell you the ones I don't do. But in 8th, I'm currently enjoying Admech, soon to be Chaos, with the Dex release on Saturday.
Big Bent Robots is Rich's favourite thing.
Love the Big Bent Robots.
Mm-hmm.
Had lots of complaints about Big Bent Robots, so they must be good.
Did you at the weekend?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, everyone was asking me for the stats and whether I was right with what they were doing, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure I know what I'm doing.
Well, I queried it when you played me with them, when I stated I only had the starter set models for my Death Guard army, and you pretty much tabled me with your Admech.
You did get me on my first game of 8th, though, so that's a pretty big handicap.
Fair. So we will be looking at a topic today that is probably not that interesting if you're a high-level competitive player and all you want to hear about is how to smash other people's toy soldiers and make them wish that they'd not turned up for the day.
Pro tip, Magnus and Two Knights.
Yeah, apparently.
Tournament winning list.
But what we are going to do is, because we're like two-thirds of the team are coming into 8th edition from not playing, we're going to do our likes and dislikes of what we've encountered with 8th edition so far. So what we will do is we've all sort of worked out sort of 5 things that we like about 8th edition 40k and 5 things that we dislike about 8th edition 40k. And then we'll obviously discuss around those and, you know, maybe something that we've encountered is something that you've encountered. And, you know, if you find that you've found a way around something that we dislike, then maybe chuck us an email or find us on Facebook or Twitter and let us know what the crack is, so we can get a little bit better. So my first like is the reroll bubbles. So obviously with playing Space Marines at the moment, I've got things like captains, which allow me to reroll ones to hit in the shooting or in fighting, which is really, really good, especially with like the Hellblasters and being able to supercharge your strength 8, damage 2, minus 4 safe plasma guns. They're pretty strong. But also things like the Primaris Lieutenants and the Lieutenants as well now in the new codexes, which allow you to just reroll your ones to wound as well, so you get to get rerolls on both, which is really, really good, and sort of mitigates that bad dice look a bit with like rerolling ones when you need a 3 to wound on a las cannon shooting something. You know, it's nice. I
suppose that also helps with when I played against Space Marines with someone done that, is they were supercharging the plasmas. The likelihood of rolling a 1 and then rerolling and then a 1 rolling is another one, unlikely.
Yeah,
it did happen once, but it.
Yeah. And then if you've got a flagman nearby, I know it doesn't work that way because they've got to kill it with one of their dudes. Mm. Yeah.
Either way, I'm sure we'll get on to flagman.
Flagman strong. So that's one of my 5 likes. My first dislike is the loss of challenges and being able to issue challenges from characters to other characters. So before 8th edition, I was playing a little bit of Horus Heresy. So challenges seem to be quite a big thing in that. And I gather that was kind of a big thing in 7th edition as well, whereas you would go, your sergeant's got a power fist. I don't really want to like get my character killed by power fist, so I'll just challenge you and then I'll just kill your guy with power fist before he gets the strike. And it was a bit like when me and Luke were playing our first game of 8th edition, not being able to like single out the guy with a power fist and just having to take a power fist on the chin every turn was a little bit like, I'm not sure I quite like that.
He does get -1 to hit.
He does, but I don't think it's quite as good as him just not getting to hit in the first place.
He did quite a lot of damage that Plague Marine.
And he stuck around because he was like the last guy to die.
That's off me to remove, obviously.
Because he's just there, just going, get in bin, get in bin.
But on the flip side, I bet your sergeant lasted quite a while as well.
Yeah, equally, yeah. Like, yeah. Primaris sergeants aren't really anything spectacular. They just get an extra attack. But yeah, it does mean your sergeant hangs around till the last man dies.
That challenge thing is a big thing in fantasy as well, and you could kind of abuse it to a certain extent by you issuing a challenge, knowing that your character would kill pretty much anything. If they decline the challenge, you go, brilliant, your character can't attack now.
Right.
So it was quite good from a tactical point of view in fantasy as well.
Yeah. I did do something similar when I was playing Heresy versus Dave from Black Dragon. He had Sigismund in his Imperial Fist and he ran into his unit with my Praetor in it. And I just went, that sergeant with that power scythe, you can cop Sigismund to the face and everybody else will be all right. it probably does prevent you just going, cop a cheeky sergeant to the face because I don't want to deal with your 400-point death machine. But it does feel weird not being able to have challenges.
Yeah. So
it's true. Just on your first point, I also really enjoy the rerolls. I know some people don't. Specifically in AdMech, they can be quite good.
Yeah, with Crawl, isn't it?
Belisarius Crawl. Making your big robots hit on 4s with a reroll is a lot more advantageous than just rolling 4s.
I think we're going to discuss that in a bit.
Yeah, I'm sure. This is coming.
It's not just re-rolling ones, though.
It's all of them.
Which is, I suppose, yeah.
But it is only on shooting.
So whereas mine are on fighting and shooting, yours is just all shooting rolls. But I still think it's a bit good.
Mm-hmm.
So, Luke, your first like from 8th edition?
So, my first like is command points. I love the idea that by building, say, a fluffy list, you get the benefit of command points.
Yeah.
I like the versatility of them. I love being able to seize combat off somebody. I used it in a game against Space Wolves, and it works really, really well because they charge me. I then spent 2 command points, then my Demon Prince attack next cleared out half a unit of Terminators, which would have quite easily killed me. Granted, they did later on kill him, but he took a few with them. I like the flexibility of being able to re-roll.
It allows you to do things like if you roll a 1 on your like crack missile or your last cannon shot for damage and you need to just do like 2 wounds to say finish the tank off, it's well worth probably putting that command point in it to get it out of the way, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's also, you can also use them to pass morale tests, stuff like that.
So yeah, there's lots of,
in the later dexes there's even more tasty things you can do with them.
You can buy other strat, like all of the dexes tend to have, or will probably have, like extra stratagems that work for like specific chapters in terms of Space Marines or Legions in terms of Chaos. And I assume as more lists come out, like for Necrons, it'll be their dynasties, and it'll be Septs for Tau and stuff like that, when it'll have specific stratagems.
So I haven't seen the Space Marine Codex yet. What type of
strategies
can you buy?
So I'm going to be doing Raven Guard, and one of the stratagems from the Raven Guard is you can spend a command point to deploy a unit that it, and set it up more than 12 inches away from your opponent. Which is just like a free deep strike, but because you're not deploying them via deep strike, you get the benefit of being able to move. It's 9. Okay, it's 9, not 12. So I can effectively use the Raven Guard stratagem, stick a unit of Terminators 9 inches away from you,
walk them up, shoot,
and then charge on turn 1. Or I can dump like surprise aggressors in front of you and stick 6 aggressors with like 3 shots each base, and then 6 because if they stand still, they can shoot twice, plus they get their Fragstorm launchers as well, so you can just have like surprise units just like appearing with Raven Guard. But other chapters have got different things that they do as well as stratagem.
Just on that, it also circumvents the limitation of having half your army in deep strike,
because it's not deep strike.
Because I came up against a very interesting list against Lev on Saturday, where he had 3 units in deep strike, and using all of his command points, he had the other 3 in,
just appear within 12.
Outside of nine. So turn 1, I had everybody.
Yeah, he was balls deep in you by that point, wasn't he?
Yep, definitely.
I can't wait for the Death Guard Codex.
The new stratagems really do add a lot to the game.
So that was your dislike.
The dislike at the moment, I'm hoping that they'll expand on this in the future. It's a lack of rules around terrain.
Yeah,
terrain seems pretty pointless, other than to make the table look nice.
Yeah, I think the you've got to be in it is probably not the right wording that they should have gone with. I think if it blocks the line of sight to you, like if like 50% of your model's obscured, you should be getting cover or
standing behind a building gives you virtually no cover save at all. You get nothing. You have to be in the building, which
but you can be. I've seen it people within the ruins that go down to the floor. As long as you're within the confinements of that cover,
I think then maybe we're taking it too literally, and you have to define with your opponent what covers as within the building at the start of it, because some of the terrain that we've got for 40k that we picked up from Dave from GW in Cov, his stuff's all on
footprints.
Yeah.
So I suppose you're within the terrain if you're on the footprint of the terrain.
Yeah.
Because that way, if you've got like an L-shaped building, but it's on a square footprint, even if the main part of the building's like 3 levels, sort of high, because you're on the footprint, you will be classed as getting the benefit from it,
and that
would then infinitely make terrain so much better.
I think it may just need a bit of clarification, just to rejig the words or something.
They could just post a few photos and just be like,
"This is in terrain."
Yeah.
That's something that was in the Infinity rulebook, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like in the Infinity rulebook, there were loads of diagrams of what counts as how stuff works, which was quite good, because that way you could just flick through and go, oh, that's what it means. That's I'm either in or I'm not, because of this image shows me how it works.
Yeah, because it's, I suppose they're trying to keep it as simple as possible, but even what God's going about Necromunda, they had soft cover, hard cover.
Yeah.
So, even if it's like, 20, up to 25% cover soft cover, 50% hard cover, that, something like that. But then I suppose
Terminators in hard cover with a 0 up save, really.
Yeah, but then I suppose that's kind of going away, like the essence of this simplified rule set. Yeah. People go, nope, that's 25%. No, well, I'd say that's 24%.
Totally agree. But vehicles, it is still the same. You do have to have a certain percentage covered to get the cover save.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, cover save's a little bit anemic. only being a plus one
bonus to save. I don't know if, because like bolt guns, like I think like some of the changes of like the normal weapons, like going from a bolt gun being AP5 and ignoring like T-shirt saves as they were, to now not just a flat space marine bolt gun doesn't have any AP.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, your guardsmen that are now in a building, instead of getting no save and relying on a cover save, are getting a 4-up save versus your bolt gun.
Yeah.
So I think it depends on what faction you play.
Yeah, well, my opponent on Monday found it particularly annoying with me having my plague marines within cover. So being toughness 5 with a 2-up save was pretty strong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which worked quite well. But yeah, I think, yeah, that's my first negative, really, the lack of all. Just a lack of clarification around terrain.
Yeah, cool.
Rich?
Cool. One of the things I do enjoy of the new edition are the changes to psychers.
Yeah.
Okay. I think the psycher phase is it's strong while not being as overpowering as 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically when you're looking at things like there's no invisibility or any other ridiculous powers anymore.
Yeah.
There are some that give a minus 1 to hit, which is quite nice.
Yeah.
Smite's all right. I think it's strong with that being too powerful.
Yeah, you can't.
I'd have great smite.
Yeah, smite's pretty good.
So yeah, overall, because obviously then you're also limited by one power per turn.
Yeah.
So you're not desperately trying to get all the same power on one on your different psychers in case you don't get it off. Because obviously that's barred. Overall, it's strong. I like it.
I've not played with the Space Wizard yet. I've not used the Librarian or anything in my list yet. You've used Typhus.
I use Typhus and a Demon Prince in my normal Death Guard list.
So yeah, I do find it some wizards out.
Yeah, so generally I'll use Typhus to do whichever spell it is to do the plus one to hit, and then he'll chuck out a smite to someone else. Demon Prince will probably use Warp Time, or he'll do a smite on somebody. Either. Fantastic smite on Monday against the Space Wolves General, rolled an 11 on the smite, and then it went up to D6 mortal wounds rather than D3, rolled a 5 on it, just binned him off straight away.
It was good.
Nice.
It's cool.
Yeah. So overall, I think it's going in the right direction.
Am I right in thinking that, from what I gather from reviews and stuff, the psychic phase used to be a bit convoluted, putting it kindly.
Yes. it used to be insanely convoluted. With your whole warp charge and needing to get some off on a specific... Basically, it was roll a pool of dice. On a 4-up, you get a warp charge. You need to match the warp charge of the power to cast it.
Right, okay.
And then to dispel, you needed to roll your dispel dice and get a number of 6s or modified number. More than... or equal to cancel that out.
Right.
So it's very complicated.
Feels a little bit like a... Like, I remember, like, fantasy in, like, one edition where you had to... So it's not quite as simple as, like, I rolled a 10, you have to roll an 11 to dispel, basically.
It's
that's what different. Fantasy was, essentially. Yeah. When you had a pool of dice, you chuck up to 6 dice. You had to hit, roll above the number, then your opponent could go, oh, I'm going to chuck this many dispel dice at it, and it was... I really like a simplified version, but I also did like the whole of, like, it's almost like a resource management about, oh, should I chuck my big one in to try and dispel that when I know he's got a few more dice to chuck something else at.
Yeah. But it's good. So, overall, it's going in the right direction. So, this one will get changed very shortly, but what I don't like is how you receive the first turn.
Yeah.
I fear it rewards elite armies and punishes horde.
Yeah, because it's whoever is the last one to finish deploying.
Whoever's the first gets to finish
deploying goes first, don't they? Yeah.
Whereas I think it's...
Chapter approved thing says it's going to be you get a plus one on your roll and then you can still seize it if you lose, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fantasy was a plus one on the roll.
I much prefer the plus one. It seems that armies that have to take many units... It's kind of like a tax on their CP because you'll pay because you will always pay to re-roll your initiative.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And overall, like you don't always get a lot of CP. In my personal opinion, the Admech army.
Yeah, because your characters are quite expensive.
Characters are very expensive, so it's difficult to take a battalion to get a certain amount.
Yeah.
So if you're wasting one of your precious 4 before the game's even begun...
Yeah, that's true. Because think my last game I had 7 command points.
This is it.
Yeah,
so.
Most of the lists that I've been building for sort of 1,500 points and upwards have all got 7 command points, because you get your standard 3, then battalion
gets, yeah, 3,
and then like a vanguard or an outrider detachment or something like that you add on top for a 7th.
That's it. So if you're looking at guaranteeing first turn, you really want to aim for about 7 units, so you're not really going to be having a lot of CP yourself.
No, it's pushing for an elite force at that point, isn't it?
This is it.
But I suppose you can mitigate that by having multiple units within a transport.
Definitely. Yeah. But then you're still deploying units for the rhinos. But yeah.
But I suppose you could.
So effectively, you could have 12, but if that is out of that 12, it's 2 rhinos with 2 units squads in, that effectively drops that, turns 6 squads into 2, so you lose 4 off it in effect.
It's true.
Which then takes it down to 8,
which is sort of close to your 7.
And you also have your tactical flexibility of deciding whether you want them in the rhino or not.
Yeah, and then you can choose where you want. I kind of like the whole, if you finish deploying first, you pretty much go in first kind of thing. I like the idea of that, because I feel if you're deploying more units afterwards, you've got the tactical advantage. So if you've got the tactical advantage of being able to put the last unit down and then go in first, I think that's quite a thing.
Yeah, I can definitely see the other side of it.
There's 2 sides to all of it. So.
Yeah, it's true. But anyway, Mark.
Fair choice.
So my next thing that I like is I like the loss of always strikes last. So again, in a similar thing to where we said about sergeants with power fists, sergeants with power fists don't strike last when they charge and stuff like that. Now they are just a -1 to the swing value, and things like thunder hammers and all of those weapons that you were taking, but they were, sometimes you didn't get the benefit of them because the guy had to go last and they just go, oh, he's dead. You get to swing with them now. And I think that's nice. Like, it does mean that you've got, potentially you've got more modelling opportunities, because you'll be more inclined to maybe go for stuff like your Thunder Hammer over just giving your guy a sword, or you'll go for the different options because of how it works for what you want the unit to do.
Improves the soft skills of the hobby as well.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah, and I think giving it just that -1 to hit isn't too bad. I think you've got to be careful, because you've got to roll your 4. You've basically got to roll a 4 for like Marines, I suppose, because you're getting your -1 to hit on your 3. But it does mean that you can't, if you had got rerolls of say
On a one
or something like that, that you're not going to be getting those, or
a chapter master will give you rerolls in general.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I don't like that. It simplifies the combat rather than, well, hang on, he goes first thing. See, like, right, my guys are hitting your guys, not mine are hitting yours are going yours. Well, they've both got power fists, so mine goes after your, and it is.
How does it work? That's something. With the wording of it, it's, so I hit normally on a 3, so I suppose I'm looking for 4s in effect, because I'm going to take my -1. If I hit but don't hit because of the weapon modifier, does that count as a miss for the purpose of rerolls, or does it fall outside of that reroll rule?
Right. There's 2 ways that the rule is worded.
Right.
Call, for example.
Yeah.
You can reroll any hit.
Right, okay.
So even if you hit on a 3, you could still re-roll it, hoping for a 4, knowing that 3 will miss.
Ah, so I suppose that's with some weapons, if you roll a 6 to hit, it increases the damage. So
correct.
You can go, right, I'm going to...
Whereas other re-roll rules will say, re-roll 1s.
Yeah.
So, it's where it specifies so that you can re-roll any hit. Because then you can re-roll a hit that you'll know will then change.
Yeah. So effectively, I am hitting on 3s, but they'll hit, but then they'll miss because of the modifier. So effectively, you roll it looking for, but you're automatically looking for 4s because you know that your 3s are going
to
miss.
But it works both ways. If you're on a -1 to hit, such as the new Raven Guard rules,
for shooting.
If you're shooting overcharged plasma at Raven Guard, and roll a 2.
Oh.
You then can't re-roll it because it's not a 1. It then goes negative 1 to a 1. Ooh. Just something to think about.
Oh, I like my Raven Guard even more now.
That's wicked, yeah. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. But yeah, so that sort of fudges those reroll ones on plasmas because your twos aren't ones and then become ones, yeah.
Especially when you're hitting on threes.
Yeah. That's like dead guys. Yeah, cool.
33% of dead man. Wow.
I do like... that's not something else. Right. So that was my like was striking last thing. So my dislike is the random damage on weapons. So things like las cannons and multi-melters that are like a D6 damage. Although like a multi-melter has got a roll 2D6 and pick the highest,
yeah, she's the best in... one, yeah.
When it's at half range, I feel that maybe there should be more.
It's quite swingy.
It can be quite swingy. Like your las cannon could do like 1 damage, or it could do 6. Whereas like you could take something like an auto cannon in chaos, which does like 2 damage flat, and it doesn't matter. So it just seems a bit weird that there's so many. Sort of swingy.
So would you prefer, like, say, 2D3 or instead of a D6?
Yeah, so
or?
You'd set, Richard said, oh, maybe okay. Having, like, sorry, 2D3 instead of a D6, because that way you're likely to get a minimum of 2 or still get your 6, basically.
Yeah, the other suggestion, using the neutron laser from the AdMech rules, it has a specific rule saying treat damage rolls of 1 or a 2 made by this weapon as a 3 instead.
Yeah,
so it gives you a baseline 3 cap of 6,
yeah,
which I think is really nice.
Yeah, that's quite cool. Yeah. I like that.
So that's one of my things. I just feel like that those weapons that are designed to take down tanks might, if you're unlucky, struggle to take down a tank.
Yes.
Whereas you were probably in previous editions, you were quite comfortable that if your multi-melter was stood next to the tank, that tank was pretty fucking dead. Yeah,
but at the same time, now anything can damage a tank, can't they?
Yeah.
It's true, you can shoot you firearms can, at it.
You
side
can,
arms
you
at
can
it
go
as well.
And poke
you
and
can
shitty
kill it
stick.
With the las gun. with the las gun, yeah.
Yeah, I did witness a guardsman stab Magnus with a bayonet, killing him at the weekend.
Fair play.
That's awesome.
Go, guardsman.
Right, okay, so my next light was that I do really seem like how simple the rules are. When I've ever seen people playing 40k or generally a lot of GW games, at some point you have two players in an argument furiously flicking through rule books going, well, now if you check this rule book, this means that, and then this contradicts that, but but if you do that in that way, that means that. With this, it's quite straightforward. I've played 6-7 games. I've yet to get into like a rules debate with somebody, really. I don't know whether I've been lucky or I've played, you know, people who know the rules, but I feel like I've never got into an argument. I don't think there's that many points of contention when you're playing.
Yeah,
the rules seem pretty self-explanatory.
I've not really had to. I've played probably 4 games now, and we've not really had anything where you've gone, is it that way or is it that way instead?
The only flicking through is through your codex and going, well, hang on, what's the start of that? Because you can't remember.
Because there's been quite a lot of changes, really, from 7th to 8th. And I think mostly it's getting your head round what your AP values are and like what damage you do and stuff like that, rather than what you hit on. Because Space Marines were pretty much always hitting on 3s, and they're still sort of hitting on 3s now. And
yeah, so with that, obviously I like how the strength and toughness works on this. It's straightforward.
Yeah.
With the, if you double 2 up, above 3 up, that kind of equals 4s, rather than looking at the tables, which what was something like minus it from 7 kind of thing, and that was your thing, something like that. There's another rule I thought that I can't think of it, but yeah. It seems really simplified and it seems to work like that. My dislike. Now, contrary to Matt, I don't really like the amount of bubble reroll abilities.
Yeah.
And because I feel, for example, when I played Rich, he had his entire mech army within 6 inches of, what's he called?
Call.
And he was like chucking hundreds of shots and just re-rolling every miss constantly. And it was I wouldn't say it was a negative experience, but it was probably my least enjoyable game of 40k, because my Death Guard were coming up the board towards you. And it was a case of, if you've got to kill them all before I get to you, and then once I get to you, I'd probably kill you.
When your Demon Prince did get into combat, he did kill some guys.
Yeah, he did kill a couple, yeah.
But then they soon ran off, for him to be shot again, so...
Yeah. It was hard to watch, though.
Mm.
Just like Rich going, these two robots get like 36 shots a turn or something silly, whatever they are.
One of them's within 6 inches of him, so both of them get all these re-rolls. Yeah. And so a possible way to improve that is actually by doing it almost like an aura.
Yeah.
I know it kind of cuts down the simplified thing of the rules, but like, for example, say with Typhus, I exploit it. I have like 4 units of 20 Poxwalkers around Typhus. Any unit where part of it's within 7 inches of him gets +1 strength and toughness. I have a single chain of Poxwalkers staying within coherency to go and hold an objective or go into combat with just a couple daisy chained along, so they're benefiting from the plus strength. I feel if it was any unit, any things completely within 7 inches of him, or even if you expand it to 10 inches, you wouldn't physically be able to get like 80 pox.
No, or even if it was, I suppose, you pick a unit within 7 to get it this turn.
Yeah.
And then you could go, I need to hold that objective. Because obviously with the way that you draw your tactical cards, you might know that you want to hold objective 4 for 2 turns, and you've held it for 1. And you need to just hold it to the end of this turn to get your extra couple of points. So you might go, right, Typhus, make them harder to kill so they stay on that objective and I get my few points.
Yeah, and the same way with the re-rolling ones. I kind of get it, like with the Space Marine thing, but suppose not making a lieutenant or something part of a unit, but getting he's commanding that unit to re-roll all ones.
Yeah, so instead you'd rather see him as like a targeted thing.
A targeted thing, rather. So it's a passive free ability.
Yeah.
So is it a targeted thing rather than if everyone by proximity benefits from this?
True. Would it not make only re-rolling ones a little bit weak, though, if you were only getting it for one unit and paying the price for
You could
that
do re-roll misses, character. The same as Admet get. Yeah. With the,
but you pick a unit.
But you pick a unit.
Yeah.
But there, yeah, that's my positive and negative.
I can't say I agree on that point, but that's me.
Well, that's the beauty of these debates.
Yeah. Go on then. Your next like.
Right.
I disagree.
My next like.
The one on the list you could read.
I like how the wounds are allocated.
Right.
I prefer it over 7th. While I don't think it's perfect, I think it's certainly better than how 7th had it, where you could have one invulnerable character sitting at the front, taking all the wounds on his 2-up invulnerable save with a God knows what feel no pain, and you could end up wasting all your shots into one unit and accomplishing nothing.
Mm. Yeah.
So whereas now, obviously, characters are separate, which is what I also like. You can then... I don't know, it opens up a lot of tactical flexibility from where, A, you take the wounds from, because obviously you can take them from the back of the units now if you're getting ready for charging, or if your special weapon, your metal gun, is sitting at the front, you therefore don't lose him first.
Yeah.
Again, I like that. I also like that if multiple wound models have taken wounds, they have to then take them next.
Yeah.
So you then can't...
It stops that knob biker thing that was about, wasn't it, where you could equip them differently and then you could allocate them around, so it took them... so many wounds before they each started dying.
This is it. So you can't rush your casualty to the back ready for a fresh guy to
So is it
wounds.
Once, say, you've once a person suffered... So, for example, the guy I played the other day, he had a unit of Space Wolves Terminators, a couple with Storm Shields. So he was going, for example, this... that one's got loads of minuses. That's going to go to the Storm Shield to make a save. If he passed it, but then say there was one with no modifiers, he'd go, that normal guy's take. So, unless they take a wound, you've then got to keep going on that one, or do you not? Okay, right.
Yeah, so like, because Terminators now have two wounds, say you take your first two saves with the Storm Shield guy because he's got a three up invulnerable, and he suffers a wound.
He's then got to take everything else until he's dead.
No,
unless he suffers the wound,
yeah.
Then he, if he takes the wound, he then has to take further wounds. But if he does not, you can allocate to whoever you want.
Yeah.
So you can, if he doesn't take the wound and he passes that three up invulnerable,
then you can allocate them to other people. But as soon as he's taken a wound, he's going to be the next guy to die. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I like that.
So I suppose that encourages you to, like, you know, have people, like, you know, people equipped differently within a unit, and that makes things a little bit more interesting rather than here's my generic bolt gun and
power
sword unit.
So a thing I don't like, it's a very specific one. I'm not a fan of consolidating into combat. So say your character or your unit has defeated a unit in combat, you then get a standard flat 3-inch consolidation.
Right, and if you can reach somebody else. If this
then takes you within 1 inch of another unit, you can then enter combat with them.
Right.
But obviously, if you've already fought, you don't get to fight again, even if you're World Eaters, they did change that. Yeah. On the downside, the squad you've consolidated into can fight you.
Because they haven't fought yet.
Because they haven't fought yet. Right. But if you are doing this, you're clearly doing it to stop them shooting you.
Yeah, so then if they've got to get out, they fall back and they can't shoot then.
Correct. So you're then costing that player a turn of shooting with that unit.
Yeah.
For no negative whatsoever.
Yeah, you're not taking Overwatch in response to piling into them, are you?
Correct.
But I suppose isn't that what kind of fair dues for the fact that you've just wiped out a unit in combat? You can kind of, you know, do like a follow-up.
Yeah, I mean, it was a thing in 7th and stuff, wasn't it? Like, when you finished a combat, if you mopped up the unit, you got to overrun, and if that took you into...
That was before 7th.
Was it? Could you not pile into...
You couldn't do it in 7th. Mm. You could obviously get closer.
Right.
But you wouldn't end up in combat.
Okay.
So, like I said, for a shooting army, not only have you just lost a unit to shooting, you've then lost...
Another unit has been switched off from shooting.
Yeah, this is it. Obviously, that's not going to affect Ultramarines who can run and then shoot.
Yeah, they fall back and shoot at minus one, don't they?
They can. Or White Scars, who can fall back and then charge. That's going to be fun. So.
That's your dislike. Right. My next like is the way that they have balanced tanks and monstrous creatures. Before, they never seemed to be able to decide which they wanted to be better, whether it was tanks or monstrous creatures. Like, one thing would come out as a monstrous creature and it'd be better than most things, or you'd have a different type of tank come out, or a flyer, for example, and it was just better. Whereas the way everything, where they're all wound values now, and like, tanks obviously get worse as they take more wounds and stuff like that. It feels better.
Yeah.
I like having tanks degrade so they get worse at shooting when they...
That's directly from Age of Sigmar, isn't it, really? Because that's what... They've done a lot of the monster tables and that. Okay. And I think...
Yeah, so I quite like that. I think that's quite good.
Yeah, it seems pretty valid. It makes sense. Yeah. That, you know, they are going to be getting slower. Their weapons aren't going to be as amazing.
We've already kind of covered one of my dislikes a bit, but the terrain does seem a bit lackluster.
Yeah.
Like, I suppose I haven't really looked at what the fortifications and stuff do, whether they're still...
Whether taking part of your army,
fortifications do fun things still or not, I don't really know.
I think it's just fire points being able to shoot out of them.
Right. Yeah, I think it feels a bit lackluster, which is a bit of a shame if you've spent money investing in a nice board with loads of cool terrain and it doesn't really do much for you. It
does look nice still.
Yeah.
Still nice. Can't take that away from you.
Still
got a nice board.
Yeah. Nice boards.
This is coming from someone who desperately wants a Forge World Crashed Thunderhawk tile.
Oh, that's a lot of money.
How much?
It's about £80. But it's gorgeous. It's so gorgeous.
Buy one on Sunday.
Maybe put it on the shopping list for Sunday. It's been there a while. Yes, myself and Mark are going to the open day on Sunday.
Yay! I've got to resist not starting Custodes and buying that fucking amazing looking new dropship.
I would go, but I'm getting married in, what, a week and a half or something, so I don't want to be divorced before I'm married.
Yeah,
good joking.
It's true.
Right, so my next like was, I really like how the combat works with the alternate combats.
Yeah.
I like it. It's a good tactical thing. Like, if you've got a lot of your units in combat, you've got to prioritise them by going, okay, so I've charged in, now I choose one unit to attack, then they can choose which units to attack back. So it's like, you get to control essentially two combats, then your opponent gets to control a combat.
Mm.
Which I think thematically kind of works a bit better, because it's not a case of us both standing there, then me hitting you, then waiting, then you hitting me back kind of thing. It kind of works.
Yeah, you're not sitting there waiting for your shit to get pushed in.
Mm.
After everyone's had all their attacks.
Yeah, so you're kind of going, okay. So, you know, there's a bit of a psychological thing. You're going, okay, well, I hope I'll try and, you know, make out that I don't want to lose that unit, so they prioritise that. Then I'm really open that they don't go for this one. You know, it adds a little bit of fun. And then you can also seize it with your command points, which I discussed earlier, which I think is really interesting. So, yeah, that's one of the things I like. Dislike... I don't like the fact there's no facing on the vehicles. Like, right. For example, if you want to shoot from a vehicle, as long as you can draw a line from any visible point on your vehicle to the enemy. So yeah. You could have a Lehman Russ with the tiniest bit of track
pointing out the back. Being able to see somebody, and then they can unload the battle cannon and the las cannons and everything.
From, like, essentially out their ass, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a bit weird, but I suppose in the aid of being simple...
Yeah.
As a game, sort of, I think what they've tried to do is make it more accessible. Whereas before it was accessible because it's like you can pretty much find like 40k in every town or across the country.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really have to swing a cat very far to be able to land across either a GW store or some other store that's selling GW stuff when you go somewhere, do you?
That's it, there's people everywhere that play in.
So, would you say, previously, were there like, say, 6th, 7th edition? Would you say there was many new 40k players, or was it just existing 40k players?
Mainly existing. I think 6th and 7th, it was kind of hard to swallow as soon as you took it to any degree other than I'm playing casually with my mates on the floor.
Yeah.
Because there was like so many books and supplements and everything like that, and...
Yeah, it all went a bit far, didn't it?
It did, it did. You needed 4 or 5 army books to just to play one game, to be honest, so...
Yeah, a bit crazy.
Yeah.
So that was my dislike with the facing. Perhaps in the future, maybe looking at even front and rear. How did the shooting work, like, from different areas? Was it in quarters or...?
All guns had their own firing arc, which was very realistic.
Yeah, like Sponsons used to be able to fire in a not quite 180, I don't think, off the side of the tank, was it? Or was
not
it?
All of them. Some of them could go 180, yeah. So you're talking Land Raiders.
Yeah.
But then the Lehman Russes, I think you had about 90 degrees.
Yeah, I think you had a 90 off the
off
the facing of that. Turrets used to be 360, though, I think, didn't they?
Turrets did get changed. Well, specifically the turret, which the Heldrake cannon ended up as less than 180.
Right.
So, putting it forward, would you know, a simpler thing of going, like, you have, from the tank facing front, this is a front gun, this is a right gun, this is a rear gun, this is a left gun kind of thing, and fire... from like a arc, like I said, a 90 degree arc from that side of the tank.
I think it probably would make you be better with positioning, but that's then something that rewards practice with a game and isn't that noob friendly. Because like if you start playing the game against like your mate who doesn't do it intentionally, but because of muscle memory, literally goes, I'm going to park my tank like this, and then I will be able to see 2/3 of your army.
Yeah.
But you're new to the game, and you go, trundle, 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 I park my tank here.
Yeah.
And then you go, and I want to shoot you, and your mate goes, like most people, if it's a casual game, I'll just go, you need to turn it like that to be able to do that. Mm. But quite equally, your opponent could go, well, you can only actually see with that bit because of the way you've parked.
So could that make it as like, rather than like, is it the open play
Yeah.
Where it's like the slightly more simplified rules, having it there, no face, and then, you know, when you're getting up that level of...
When you're doing match play, then you're adding in a face in.
Yeah, because I think it just...
To be honest...
It seems a bit wonky to me.
Now they may have gone a step too far. Now all units have split fire.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, your tank doesn't always have to shoot the same thing.
Mm.
You probably could still bring in line of sight from guns, because then you're not going to waste that one sponson that will have no chance of seeing over the other side.
Because
it could then still shoot somebody else.
Yeah. It might be right hand last cannon fires the tank over there, two main guns fire at like turret, and other last cannon fire at that other thing over there.
Or even just simplify it further, just go no rear shooting. Because most tanks haven't. I can't think of any that have got a rear gun.
The repulsor.
Yeah,
it's got guns everywhere else.
Yeah.
Just bristling with them. The repulsor.
But even something as simple as that is, you can't shoot out the back of your tank.
Yeah. I can only think of one example.
But then you could have a rule that contradicts that. If this tank can shoot from any direction. I don't know. So that's my negative, was the facing on vehicles.
Mm. Yeah, it's cool.
Cool.
Rich, your next positive?
Yeah, my next positive. I like that with the rebalancing, that most units in your index/codex are now playable.
Yeah.
That a lot of units are now seeing table time that never used to. It's sort of gene stealers for the Tyranids.
Yeah.
They started off amazing a few editions ago.
Oh my god, I remember back in the day. Running through the side of an army as they infiltrated on, assault, like, moved forward, ran, assaulted, and then, like, went through a unit and then came out on the one on the other side. And
this is it. And then last edition, Tyranids were at the bottom of the heap.
Yeah.
And now, they're on fire now.
Yeah.
You see... Yeah, you see them gene stealers everywhere. Well, maybe that's the problem. Maybe you don't. You just don't see them coming. But yeah, so I like that a lot of units are now playable. Vespid for Tyranids, for Tau, still aren't.
No, they're not. I've developed a newfound love for Land Speeders. Like, I was reading my Codex when the Marine... I think maybe when the Index was out, or maybe once they picked up the Marine Codex, and I was mooching through it, but... I've picked up like 3 Land Speeders from our Space Marines with assault cannons and multi melters, just because it makes a really nice mobile weapons platform that can either tear through infantry or have a chew at vehicles as well. I'd have never thought about buying Land Speeders like years ago.
This is it. So I really like that you can dust off those units that you've had for ages and just play. Just get stuck in.
Yeah.
With that, again, I like the weapon profiles. I find with armor modifiers so much easier than AP. It's just so much quicker, so much easier for new players to pick up.
Yeah.
This is it. You take a number, you minus things off, and then you're ready to go. Do you know what I mean? It's simple maths. It's good for math skills for the kids as well.
Yeah.
The only good thing about getting kids into war, forget the cost, it'll help you with your basic arithmetic of minus in twos and ones.
Look on the bright side. When the mum asks why little Jimmy's now playing 40k, you'd be like, teaching him maths.
Forget about like the fact he's got a Slaanesh army. I don't know if he's learning 2 pluses.
He's also, it's artistic, they're learning to paint.
Yeah, wicked.
Right.
Slash has lost all the dicks anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah, they've tried to make him a bit more
kid friendly, no dicks.
Still boobs.
No dicks in for Harambe.
It's
your bad thing, man.
Yeah, your bad thing.
Yeah, that's a
good one. Oh, yeah, my bad thing. You're
usually positive today, right?
Only because you're forcing me to be positive. I'll get a lot of hate for this one. Multi HQ and super heavy detachments, as in the formations that you can take. After having been violently boned by Magnus and 2 Knights the weekend, with him also having as many CP as myself for taking such a ridiculous list.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, because you're a poor man's CP builder.
How many points was the tournament?
1500.
And it was 3 models.
He had 3 models and 1500, so he's guaranteeing first turn.
Unless you rolled a 6.
I did not. On 2 dice, I did not roll a 6. And this is it, and this is it. So I find it rewarding you with CP for taking such an obviously broken bullshit list. I know it's been winning tournaments.
Well, that's
and
probably
Andy, if you're listening to this, mate, just how it is. You know my feelings.
Well, Black Dragons now at their next tournament. I'll try, you've only had one Lord of
I'll
War.
Try not to be too salty about this. But I find it doesn't really stretch your mind to build a nice, flexible all-comers list if you can just take three models and win.
Yeah. I think, like I was saying, that I think it'd be a little bit of kick in the dick if more venues decide that they don't want to run tournaments with, like, if more places just say you can only have one Lord of War. Like, if you'd gone out to Forge World and you bought, like, two Forge World knights and you'd got a normal knight, and then you bought, like, Gilman or like, Magnus or something like that, and you're like, I've got my five models, they cost me £500, and the venue's like, we only play with one Lord of War, and I'm like, but I've got four. Like, well, you come play our event, you're like,
best go play somewhere else, boy.
I best go buy my toy soldiers.
You come to the wrong then. Place.
You're a long way from home.
Come to the wrong town, dude. We got rules against that bullshit.
I get it, because was it an enjoyable game for you?
No, it was not.
Yeah, I get it.
But you know, the one Lord of War, that's that Warhound that I bought a few years ago. That's one Lord of War, right?
Yeah.
That'll be a fun game.
Isn't that like 1,500 points on it? Is that
700 and something?
No. Right.
I think you're always going to find that in tournaments.
Yeah.
There's always going to be that guy who's there to... I know most people are there to win the tournament, but, you know, at the sake of, I don't care how anyone else feels, costs. I am going to win this tournament.
Maybe that's where I'm going wrong.
Yeah, I just don't try that hard. Yeah. I go, oh no, I want this nice fluffy army. I get extra command points.
Yeah, like I said, and the other one was the multi-HQ. There was a Tau player who brought 6-7 commanders, tooled up commanders.
That's a bit retarded.
With a Riptide and a couple of Pathfinders.
That sounds like a nice list.
Well, I did win, but
so this
can be
added to one of my negatives about the just the. It's like the flexibility of a list that you can make stuff, and
yeah.
It's just.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. In any other edition, that list would not be possible. So I like the fact that someone's gone out there and thought, you know what, why take normal crisis suits when I can just load up on commanders on twos? I like that it's a fresh list, do you know what I mean? It's one I haven't seen before.
Equally, it's a bit weird. It's like, we're dispatching you guys, you seven commanders of our armies, just go and kick their bins over. Like, don't take any of these guys that know what they're doing, but they're not quite as good as you. Just you.
Just you. Just
no,
you seven. No,
not
no.
You, Dave. Just you.
Yeah, this is it.
He's effectively what it is, isn't it? So my theory has just turned around and gone, boys, back to the barracks.
Hold
fuck
my beer.
Off home.
We got this.
Hold my beer.
Yeah. And then the commander's like, yeah, hold my beer. We got this, kids. This back in it. A bit. Yeah, it is a bit odd.
This is it. Like, I'd like to see, like... Not a minimum of a battalion per person, because obviously I understand it's quite a lot. But at least a patrol is like what? One HQ, three troops.
Well, they had it in fantasy. It's like your core tax, where you had to have that many core units to be able to get your 25% of your army had to be core.
I'm not saying take too many, because obviously you can take some really cheap elite troop slots.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice just to have it look like an army. Do you know what I mean? Rather than just sort of like Rambo's rocked up and he's come to take your kids.
Yeah.
And I suppose with that... But I suppose if he's only got three models, he won't take objectives.
He got very lucky with the cards and he took quite a lot of objectives
He was just tabling people.
He tabled three out of his four opponents, or maybe, I guess. He certainly tabled many. I can't talk. I did table three of my opponents. And the only time I didn't do it is because I got tabled myself.
Wow.
But
he won the cheese off.
Well, I only came third in the tournament because Kane pipped me, but hey. But to be honest, after the experience of playing quite a few games with those Castellan robots, it's turned me off them.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, okay, tournament setting, you know, it's...
I think there's some kind of social contract.
You've got to make your game. There's no point in playing a game if neither of you are going
to
enjoy it.
Going to win.
No. Whereas, like the three games I won, they were comfortable.
Yeah,
there was no real. I like a sweating game where it comes down to that last roll where you can do a run move and hold an objective. Yeah. You know, like real thematic moments.
Yeah.
Like your one with your Garrow.
I was using the Garrow model from Forge World as my captain, and he shot Typhus in the face and killed him.
On an Overwatch, it was great.
No, it weren't. That was just in just my shooting phase before I charged him.
Oh yeah, because Typhus had just took out that tank.
Yeah, he blew up my Sakaran, and the Sakaran blew up and taken a few wounds off him.
Was it two rounds of combat? He done it.
Yeah,
it's nice. See, that's it. I like big thematic. I like thematic battles and things like that. So, you know, when you're just fighting two knights and Magnus, or like seven top ranking Tau guys rock up.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to a Mortarian coming out from a Mortarian and knights list.
Definitely. Hey, if you want to borrow the knights, I'll definitely play you.
Right. So that was Richie's
negative
dislike. My like that I've got is the speed of the games. Everything feels like it dies quickly. Like, some stuff doesn't die quickly, but like I think a lot of the games don't tend to go much past like turn 3 or 4, which is pretty good. We played our first game. Admittedly, it was like 1,000 points, but we played it in about
An hour and a half, and that was our first
outing with it. So I like the speed of it. Everything dies quickly, and it feels very grimdark. Like watching squads just evaporate in a hail of fire feels like when you're reading like Gaunt's Ghosts and stuff like that, and like the way that like they'd open up a salvo of lasguns, and like the enemy would just be smoking boots at the end of it. Like, I don't think I've ever read books where lasguns sound quite as terrifying as they do in Gaunt's Ghosts. Yeah. Like, their lasguns must be something different to what we get in 40k, because they just kill people.
They just pings off armor save.
Yeah, so I quite like that. I've run out of dislikes as things that. So,
does that mean you like it that much?
Or maybe I've not played enough to encounter more things that I dislike at the moment. I think possibly. I tell you what I dislike is I can't fit all of the toys that I want into my list. I know that's not really like a problem with the game.
Bigger point games.
It's no, mate. Because you go, I'll just write a 2,000-point list, and you're like, but I can't fit this thing in. And then you're like, if we're just going to go bigger, and then you're like, now I can't fit this thing in.
Now I've got to do Battleforge.
So it's, I think the amount of choice that has come into it is good, but it's. It makes you feel a bit like, I want these toys, but I can't fit them in my list. And whether that's just trying to like cram too much stuff in and...
just being greedy?
Yeah, probably. You know.
Yeah.
It's not a real dislike, but it's kind of a pseudo-dislike.
It's like, I can't play enough 40k.
Don't have enough time to play as much 40k or as much Guild Ball as I want, or, you know, do everything else I want. But, yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. General adulting required.
Yeah.
While we're currently hiding in my loft.
Yeah,
it's not a loft. It's a
it's a usable loft space. It's not. It's not a loft conversion. Right. So another one of my likes is I like the Overwatch rules. I like the fact that you've got to think before you do an Overwatch with a charge. So if you've got like 12 inches away, I'll try it. If you fail, they get to shoot you. The next unit can try it. They also get to shoot you if you fail it. It kind of makes you go, am I likely to get this in? Can I afford to take the Overwatch shot? That type of stuff.
Yeah.
I do like that. Do I really want to charge this unit of flamers on the off chance that I get in?
Yeah. I like that you can Overwatch multiple times as opposed to it used to be once and you were done.
Yeah. Yeah, that's. I really like the Overwatch rules. I
think it's a little bit, while hitting on sixes is pretty, hitting on sixes means that you're less likely to hit, but I think the fact that you don't just get to snap fire as they run you down, and if they're like starting in rapid fire range, you get to fucking unload on them.
Oh, a tank can completely empty on you.
Yeah, like, because when our first game, your sorcerer charged the Sakaran, didn't he? And
he survived it though.
Yeah, and the Sakaran like just emptied like 19 shots into him, and like it's not what you want.
So really, I sent him in there. I got him in, and then I just said, Typhus is just going to walk in.
Yeah,
molested.
Yeah, but Overwatch is quite cool, like that.
My downside is kind of links a couple of things together. So with deep striking, like being able to deploy just over 9 inches away and then combining it with other things, like I think you're going to mention it in a bit, but saying like warp time,
yeah.
I've come across someone deep striking, then being close enough with a caster to warp time the unit forward, then them shoot, then them charge, turn one. So I got annihilated half my army turn one with me being able to do very little about it. I know that's a very specific example, but possibly, like, you know, tightening up the deep strike rules. You deep strike, you can't, like, you know, be on the receiving end of any, like, movement benefits, that type of stuff. Or you can shoot or charge or something, you know what I mean? Putting some kind of limit on it that you can't empty your guns and then go and
smash face. Effectively, probably more restrictions on deep striking, maybe, or arriving.
Maybe even if it's 12 inches, you've got to be 12 inches away, then you're only getting in
then
the double
if
six.
If you're really lucky. Well, no, if you've got to be more than 12 inches away, you can't get in.
Yeah.
Because that's how it works, isn't it? You've got to be more than 12, so you've got to be 12.1, so you can't roll 12.1 on 2d6.
That's it. To be honest, if we just roll in my point about warp time, I feel warp time should be an advance, not a move, because then even if you have deep struck in, if you then get an advance up to your max movement,
that
you then can't charge.
You
are definitely in their face, but you then can't charge.
Yeah.
So it does kind
and
of...
And it stops you from shooting as well.
Yeah.
Unless you've got an assault, yeah.
Yeah.
This is, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
No, that would make sense.
Or if they put a limit on how far you could move with warp time.
Right.
Yeah, because it's like having a move, then another move, then they can shoot, then they can charge.
I've seen it
happen with some Chaos Bikers, and it was nasty.
Yeah, this is what happened at the weekend. When you've got things like Magnus with a very long move, 16 inches, I believe.
I don't know.
He obviously goes 16 inches, warp times himself for another 16 inches, and then he only has to make a 2-inch charge, if that. Do you know what I mean? And that's after you've taken 3 psychic powers to the face. And then
minus warp time.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Well, you've taken a warp time to the face because Magnus is stood next to you going, I'm going to chin you.
Yeah, and this is what I'm getting at. So then you've lost many wounds due to... And then you take all of his attacks at 3 flat damage.
Yeah, and then he 16 or something for a time.
And then he consolidates into another unit after he's already broken all your toys.
Right, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Things like that need to be stopped, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think just a little bit more clarity, you know, a few restrictions on the things. But I think that probably will come in the writers. I think the good thing about GW at the moment, if there's an issue...
They're on it.
They're straight on it, like the flyers list kind of thing.
Yeah,
they sort of
got rid of that, didn't they?
And they, you know, you can't... You know, on a side note, GW can't really make a step wrong at the moment.
They're doing a great job in my opinion.
Yeah, they are. They are doing.
They've already got the Arras route for the Space Marine book.
Yeah, there's not that much in it though, to be honest.
Okay.
It's like, I don't know, like 10. It's like a page with like 10 entries that needed changing or something like that.
Yeah.
It does. I glanced through it this morning or whenever it dropped and I saw it, I was like, oh, it's not really anything that's affecting me in there.
Raven Guard is still the new hotness.
Yeah. See, we've kind of joined a dislike. So, what's another one of your likes? Really?
Oh yeah, sorry. My other likes. I like how characters are held are done nowadays with the fact that they're separate.
Yeah.
Breaking into another point of, I like that transports have a capacity now, not a unit.
Yeah,
so you can have multiple units in the same transport. So there you go, your character can now jump in at the same time. And then they can all get out at different times or at the same time if you want. Like I said, I really like that characters are separate because it stops a lot of the shenanigans that you used to get with characters tanking wounds and everything like that.
And
so.
Then, because it used to be like, there was a bit of like when we've played Heresy, it was like a look out, sir.
Yeah.
Then you had like armor save,
or invulnerable save, and then you had like feel no pain more often than not as well.
Yeah.
And it was like you've really got to roll like three times to see it. Yeah, and it did, because then you had like Death Star units that were going, I take this, then I pass it on, 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 and it was just like
a lot of faff.
Yeah, basically. And it was just like you should be able to, like, you should, they should, realistically, like, I could see how it worked, like, they should realistically be able to take like five Terminators, probably shouldn't die to like 30 bolt gunshots. Like, their Terminator armor's pretty powerful. It's supposed to be like tactical dreadnought armor. Like, they probably should be able to shrug off small arms fire. But when you were playing against it, it just felt miserable, because you'd rolled like 20 wounds and then your opponent would go, look out, sirs, armor saves, feel no pains. And then you'd have like two guys die, but it had taken them like 10 minutes to make their way through all of your dice rolls.
Yeah.
And it was just a bit like, all right.
This is it. So it's good. Plus, with characters being separate, it makes assassins feel like they do what they say on the tin.
Yeah.
They go after your single man units and they mess him up. Do you know what I mean? I really like that. So whereas obviously you got an assassin in the old one, it just charged into a unit, kill a couple of peckers and then just get beaten down. Now he can target where he wants to go.
I came against a sniper one, it was like typhus. You're having it. Luckily he rolled like shit and he took a wound. I understood the potential.
Yeah, that's it. So that's to be fair, that's all my likes and dislikes. So
I think I've got one more like, but that's about it.
I think I'd got a bit more about stratagems, but we kind of went into that more about when we were talking about command points quite early on. I love the stratagems, basically. I think they're really, really cool. I think they add quite a lot of flavour. I think they, like, you can sort of bring it into an element of list design as well. Like, you will, or like I certainly am, thinking about what stratagems do I want to consider using with this list.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, you're going to be using the reroll one,
mm-hmm.
and you're probably going to be using the seize the initiative in combat one.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's looking through the Space Marine decks, and you've got loads of different.
So how many can you have three?
No, can have as many.
You can use all of them that you have available,
but they all cost. So your
command point.
Yeah, between one. So you could use three, like, you could all use like, you could use 7 1-point, 1 command point cost ones or whatever throughout the course of the game. But I think what you'll probably see for the majority is you'll see a lot of people doing reroll ones, and you'll do other bits and bobs as well. But like I really like them, like doing strategies and stuff.
One of the ones I currently like, which I'm just showing Mark.
Oh, Chapter Master.
Read that out for us.
So it's a Space Marine stratagem. It's 3 command points. Use this stratagem before a battle. Select an Adeptus Astartes captain in your army. Replace this model's captain keyword with the Chapter Master and replace his rites of battle with the following ability, Chapter Master. You can re-roll any failed hit rolls for friendly chapter units within 6 inches of this model. You can only use this stratagem once, and your army cannot include 2 Chapter Masters from the same chapter. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fucking CP, though.
How many is it? 3?
It's 3.
But it's good.
That's like half of your CP.
If you haven't got a battalion, that can be all of it.
Your CPs, yeah. I can see that being super good if you were playing, like, bigger games where you can, like, almost squeeze into brigade and you get in, like, 12 CPs. Like, and then you're just like, I'll just ditch 3 to have a Chapter Master, yeah. But yeah, it is... It is really nice. I like some of the ones that you do with the tanks as well, like Kill Shot, where if you've got, use this stratagem in your shooting phase, if a predator is within 6 inches of 2 other friendly chapter predators, if you do so, you can add 1 to the wound, roll some damage for all predator attacks that target monstrous creature, monsters or vehicles of this phase. I really like stuff like that because it does make, it kind of feels cool, and it's sort of, it's not just your detachments and your formations for theming your list, it's then your theming your list around what stratagems you want to use.
That tells a story.
Yeah, because
if you went, oh right, well I'll take the heavy support detachment, whatever it's called, I can't remember, but the one that allows you to take like three heavy support choices and a HQ is the what you get, and that gives you one CP. That effectively allows you to just go, these three predators just muller whatever is in front of them in that turn. Because it's like,
yeah, it fits.
Yeah,
yeah,
this is it.
It's really cool.
I like that. I can't wait to get Mans of the Curse Codex when that comes out.
Data link telemetry the other day, like when I was browsing through the book, and I almost debated buying some Whirlwinds.
All right.
Because
what
they
does that do?
So use this stratagem in the shooting phase just before the Whirlwind shoots. If the target of the Whirlwind shooting attack are visible to friendly chapter land speeders, units that is within 12 inches of the target, the Whirlwind's attacks hit automatically. Which is pretty cool. Like, but I'm not really sure how hot Whirlwinds are anymore. They're not like the Whirlwind Scorpius in Heresy. But I don't know what they get. I'll have a quick.
Does it just say Legion Whirlwind?
If the target of the Whirlwind's shooting attacks.
So could you sneak in a cheeky Forge World Whirlwind?
You probably could put in a Scorpius.
And that's why you're a tournament player.
But they're not that scary. Like, Scorpius.
They're only like strength 6 now.
Yeah, they're strength not like 8. The strength 8 AP3 that they were. So Whirlwinds are either 72 inch range, heavy 2d6, strength 6, 1 damage, or heavy 2d3, strength 1, minus 1 AP, and 2 damage. So, like, I think realistically, if you were going to use your stratagem, you'd probably want to be using your Vengeance launchers to put out, like, because I suppose you're probably looking at like 3, so you could put 6 damage onto something with that, which is quite cool.
Yeah.
So, like I say, I think stratagems sort of allow you to sort of theme a list as well, and that's kind of my last.
And I think my last one is really, I like how they've kind of lowered the point of entry to play. So I've always been skirting around the edges of 40k. I love the novels, I love the fluff associated to it. But the thing is, I don't want to spend like 200-300 quid on books before I even look at buying a model.
Yeah.
So with this, it's a case of, yeah, it will expand again, but buying a rule book, buying a 15 quid index, you're good to go kind of thing. Yeah. It's just lowered the point of entry for a lot of people. The starter set's fantastic.
Yeah.
So in a weird way of looking at it, you don't actually need to buy your Space Marine Codex, technically. I don't think.
No.
You probably should do, because obviously like stuff like the Intercessors changed, like their stats in the index
are different. And all the stratagems are in
there. Yeah, but obviously with the new data cards coming out, they've got all your stratagem cards in there.
Yes.
So, like, you don't necessarily need the codex for your stratagems, but I suppose because in the Index Imperium where the Space Marines are, Intercessors were, it's a 5-man squad for 100 points, whereas they've changed it in the codex. So it starts as a 5-man squad for 100 points, but you can now make it a 10-man squad for like 200, but then the Intercessors can have three different types of bolt gun. They either come with their bolt rifle, which is the rapid fire 30-inch, strength 4, minus 1. They come with an Assault 2 bolt gun, basically. And then they also have the Stalker bolt gun, which is like your 36-inch range, heavy 1, minus 2 on saves. So you can then sort of tailor sort of Intercessors to sort of suit multi-roles. So I really like the idea of having some Intercessors in my Raven Guard that are going to be with the Stalker bolt rifle sat, like,
it's fluffy.
Yeah, 30-odd inches away, just plonking off shots at minus 2 saves, sniping off, but then you're at minus 1 to hit me back because you're right outside of 12.
So you're saying buy the codex or don't buy the codex? Because you started off with don't buy the codex, and now you're saying you need it.
I was like, to begin with, I was a bit like, do you really need to buy it? But yeah, you probably do.
But realistically, that's your point of entry. You don't need all the rule supplements, you don't need all the other stuff. They're generally quite good at the erratas and that, so they're all online, they're free. Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's a brilliant book.
Yeah, it
like
really
if
nice.
if you're into your fluff, if you're into your paint schemes, there's loads of stuff in there for everybody.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I enjoy reading them anyway.
Yeah. So that's really my last one. It's made me play 40k really. So that's a you know, for someone who's had no in, well, I wouldn't say no interest, but you know,
but has been trying really hard to resist it.
And yeah, then this one, I've gone, nah, fuck it, let's do it.
And I think it was the fact that, like, because we all play sort of Guild Ball together, and then we've all been seeing like the releases every, like in the run up to 8th, it was like every week you got a new sort of teaser and stuff like that, stuff that was coming. And we were all like, oh my god, all of these changes sound so cool. Like when we saw the weapons stats changed and stuff, like twin links instead of just re-rolling just became like double the amount of shots. It was like, oh my god, that's so cool.
It helped that I was like, I'm a big Nurgle fanboy, so Death Guard in the starter set.
Death Guard being in the starter set.
Admit, so I've basically got 4 starter sets worth of Nurgle.
Yeah.
And then a few other bits that I've just bought off from general people.
Yeah, so I think, and then like Graham as well, who's not played 40k and I don't know
he how went
long.
From cold to scalding like, hot Eldar machine.
Yeah, he just went to, oh my god, I can play a Wraithlord army, I'm in.
Yeah, he goes, is there a way so I can just play Wraithlords? We're like,
yes there is, and he was like, I'm sold,
I'll be there, this is it. And this, that was it. And I think it's getting there's a lot of people skirting on the edge of it, and this has made them go, yeah, fuck it, let's do it kind of thing. And I like that
as a long term player, because I've been playing solid now for 11 years, a lot of years. It's exciting for me to see everybody get excited about the thing I love.
Okay, yeah.
And it's opened up to so many new people that I can play.
Yeah.
So many new people you can table.
You're getting better every day.
I was so surprised when I tabled Mustin.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, man, with my Flagman. Oh, that was one of my things.
Flagman. I can't believe we didn't need to discuss Flagman.
So, one of the things that I absolutely love about 8th edition is all of the guys with flags, basically. They're like called a Primaris Ancient or a Company Ancient or a Chapter Ancient. There's like 3 different types that
it's
you can
pick.
It's
a gimp with a flag. Flagman.
A featured Flagman. Like, basically, you'll buy the model, you'll be like, why do I want Flagman? Read what the flag does. Because what all it'll make you want to do is paint a middle finger on the flag so that's looking at your opponent all game, because that's effectively what he does. So the flag is basically, you get +1 leadership, which is tidy, but if your opponent kills one of your dudes and they're within 6 inches of the flagman gets to make a roll. On a 4+, the guy that just died gets to make a close combat or shooting attack back. And it doesn't even have to be at the guy that killed him. It could just be at anybody. Just anyway, it doesn't care. It's just like, I'm dying, so you're copping a taste. So David got his...
Is it any unit within
the range? Within 6 inches of the flag. So if a guy dies...
Is it only infantry?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not
like a tank.
No.
Tanks unloads everything.
No, it's just infantry. But yeah, so effectively, like, Dave's like grey hunters or whatever they are, shot some of my Hellblasters. One of the Hellblasters died. And then I passed my flagman re-roll. And then...
The flagman re-roll.
Well, yeah, like my flagman roll. And then the Hellblaster turned around and went, I'm dying anyway, so I'll just supercharge. And shot his supercharged, like, plasma incinerator into Dave's storm sledge thing. Like the big space wolf fly, I think. I can't remember what it's called. I don't know. It looks like a space sledge. And blew it up. Blew it up. Took its last couple of wounds off it because it does 2 damage on supercharging. You get to shoot, so I was within rapid fire range. So I just went,
Flagman him.
Boom, boom, boom. And he died. It was brilliant. Made me really happy. Dave was like, I don't like shooting your stuff when it does that. I was like, great.
Yeah, I remember shooting your Hellblasters with more Castellan robots.
Yeah, and then they started taking more wounds
did
off.
Did more than... wounds to them than I did to the squad.
It's brilliant. Yeah, Flagmans are great. That is what
I think. That's a brilliant point to finish on,
especially with the new relic.
Oh my god, buy a relic that makes your flagman do it on 3s. Even better. 66% of the time you get to give your opponent a fuck you. Yeah, I think that's us probably done for this first
that's
episode,
good.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
wicked.
Spaff the load.
So thank you for listening. We will have, by the time this podcast goes out, a Facebook page called The Mortal Wound Podcast. I'll probably look at setting up a Twitter or something like that, and we'll probably just continue using the heroicplay@gmail.com, to be honest. Rich and myself are running a 40k 8th edition campaign weekend on Saturday the 30th of September and October the 1st, which is the Sunday, at the Chase in Nuneaton. It's going to be a 2,000 point campaign weekend, and it's going to be a great laugh. It's 40 quid per ticket. And it comes with a coffee and a bacon sandwich on the morning that you arrive on the Saturday. The Chase does really good food. You can have steak for lunch or anything.
Steak
like that.
For breakfast.
You can have steak
and beer.
Steak and beer basically throughout the day. There are hotel rooms, so if you're coming from far away, you could stay.
Yeah, there's prizes, there's giveaways, we've got everything.
Yeah, we're going to have a really, really cool event. You can find that on Facebook via searching for the Desecration Campaign Weekend. And we will probably put it in the notes when we post this podcast up as well. I've been Mark. Thank you for listening.
I've been Luke.
And I've been Rich.
Bye.
See ya.